Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now.
All right, Owen. First off, Happy New Year. We're going to get rocking here right away. I think recently we've been doing a little bit of a hiatus, but the biggest thing that I think we both agree we want to talk about is some of these LinkedIn posts we've been putting up recently, and some of the people we're making angry / some of the people we're motivating. I'm not really sure what we're doing, but we're stirring shit up, and that's fun. So talk to me a little bit about
the
one.
We've been gone for 2 months because both of our businesses are busy. I mean, and this is something for people to understand if this is the first time listening to this. Like, we're full time business owners. We're
For
not
sure.
like coaching only PTs who did it like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, we actually have like stuff we got to do. So
still in the
you
game.
might find a hiatus here and there, but it doesn't mean we don't love you. So hopefully this is helpful.
Yeah. So I think the cool part, you know, we've been more recently posting some of the stuff on LinkedIn. Obviously that's getting some eyeballs. And one of the things that you sent out, I think got like 100,000 eyeballs on it. And again, we're stirring the pot. Yeah. A lot of people, some people were pumped about it. Some people were angry about it. I mean, so let's talk about it and riff about it here and give a little more context. So first, I guess, talk a little bit about your post and what you wrote, what you're getting at.
So the nice part is overwhelmingly it was a positive reaction. But of course, you know, everyone's got a keyboard warrior, right? So what I did was I posted something that I was driving around in my car and I was thinking, man, what's the future of PT going to look like in 5, 10 years, right? And it's actually the third part of three posts, right, where I go through the history of healthcare and all that and how doctors and physicians, basically they created physicians assistants and nurse practitioners as a way of extending physicians' times, right? They were saying, look, med schools only graduate 100 people a year. There's one in every state at the time. We don't have enough physicians for how many people in the baby boom are coming out, right? So they moved to a delegation level, right? Where they were, and this is what most people experience in a doctor's office today, where you walk in, the doctor says, you have X diagnosis. I want XYZ test done. I'm going to look over this, 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 and this. And then the follow-ups are, hey, done by a PA or an MP, where it's like, is this plan working? How are you doing? What's some changes that we can make? Things like that. And the PA and the MP go through school to know how to make that change. So if you're a physical therapist listening to this, it sounds a lot like what a PTA would do, right? And this is very important. I think a lot of people have misunderstood this. A PTA who goes to 2 years of school, not an aide or a tech, which is like a high school, you could be a high school kid and do that, right? So what I was saying is basically, if we can't change, the big things we can't change that affect everyone's practice, how much a house costs, right, in your local area, how much your student loans cost, right, for either you or if you're older, your kids, like how much college costs, right? And reimbursement rates, right? So I don't know about you, but I haven't found any PT that solved any of those things or is capable of solving them. So we kind of just have to assume that they're going to continue to be harder, not easier to deal with. Inflation goes up. It's a lot. It's really bad if it goes down. So like we hope inflation goes up, but it's only going to get more expensive. And if insurance rates don't increase at that rate, which they haven't, a Therex code went from $20 in 2010, I think, or in 2000. Now it's 22, right, in Arizona. That's a 10% change over 25 years. That is not what inflation has done, right? So we have to now look as therapists and say, we might need to go to a delegation model, right, that the physicians have done, and we should be training our therapists leadership techniques. We should be teaching them how to delegate, teaching them how to monitor a care plan, teaching them how to say, look, this is something I need to be a part of and not that. Now, what I'm very crucially not saying is you should do what the mills do of I do a massage for 10 minutes and then hand you off and then don't do anything but bill like I was with you the whole time, right? Or don't have any sort of oversight or check in with somebody because the aide has seen them like three times, you know, four times straight, or what they do with PTA sometimes where they just say, look, I'll evaluate. And then the PTA calls me if there's an issue, I'd much rather have the PT check in once every 4 or 5 visits. But that's essentially what the post said, is that we have to be better leaders, and we have to understand that one-to-one care is not economically feasible if we are intending to treat the masses, right? And I think that's what got lost, is people who kind of came at me with pitchforks and said, like, well, one-on-one care is the best. And then you look at their profile and it's like, I also do like mentorship coaching for, I teach other doctors how to doctor, and I do spine coaching for people who don't know what they're doing with my 4 years experience, and spend thousands of dollars to hear me say it instead of being in a good practice and learn from someone who actually knows what they're doing. So, like, yeah, I mean, LinkedIn's obviously motivated by business, right? So the only people who got pissed off were the regenerative medicine doctors who charge, thousands of dollars a session type of thing. And, well, I only send my patients to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fantastic. Rich suburbs of Boston, go nuts, right? But what are they going to do in Nebraska,
For
right?
sure.
What are they going to do in Missouri? I'm not trying to pick on the middle of the country, but
No,
like,
I think gonna jump in here. I think there's a couple of other things. And one, I totally jumped in on Owen's post when we saw it going kind of viral, and I had like two or three bourbons during around the Christmas time. So it was definitely kind of funny where I just jumped in and I was like, I'm coming. So I think I think when you think about this process is you have to break it down because it's more nuanced. And I think that's the thing that happens on these posts. And what's great about podcasting is that we can actually talk about this stuff. And that's how we started in the beginning, was how do you actually execute this stuff, right? And again, to kind of do what me and Owen were talking about from a physio growth perspective, the whole way we started physio growth was legitimately Owen has a ton of experience. We were friends from college, right? I started a practice. Owen was starting a practice, and we were just talking about it all the time on business. And we've always had good business communication for 15 plus years of doing this together. And so then Owen calls me one day and goes, "You hear me out. Let's record these." Right? And that's how this podcast all started. So the reality of it is, that's why we do our school group and really don't charge thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And Owen's point, I think one of the major problems that I have seen going on in this one-on-one care bullshit model idea. And again, I'm not against one-on-one care, neither is Owen, right? To the
Although you
point
do
of
call it bullshit.
yeah, but I'm gonna but the bull sorry, good point. But the bullshit around it is exactly what Owen just talked about, all these coaches that quite frankly I've had these meetings with. They are disenfranchised with physical therapy or chiropractics or regener or medicine in general. And what they've thought of is, well, if I don't, it's not even if I can't do, because they can do it, but if I don't want to do it, let me go into coaching. And let me go and coach, right? And look, that is, if you ever
Clinically,
read any of Alex Hormozi's books in the fitness world, it's a 2 out of 10 opportunity. Guess what? Coaching and consulting is a 10 out of 10 opportunity, because digitally, from a business model perspective, this has lower overhead. And so therefore you can provide more value and can make more money. It's that simple. Here's what's crazy. There are so many physical therapists that are jumping in that are a year or two out doing it. It's wild to me. They have no experience and aren't very good, right?
Well, let's look at why they do that. And I really do think there are very good reasons why these people are coming at a post that says, hey, we might need to delegate to see more of the public, right? With our shortage, right? And I think the really good reason, obviously, we get on the selfish motivations, right? But most of these people, they've worked in a mill. They've been told by either a major company or just an owner who decides they just want to make way more money, you need to see 20 people, you need to hand off to high school kids, right? So their interaction, and honestly, sometimes even all their clinicals were like this. So of course they hate it, right? It sucks, right? You and
For
I were
sure.
very fortunate. We started off in good clinics with great mentors. We saw what a good, well-run clinic could be with an insurance model. And we said, yeah, like obviously there's great PTs that do this, right? But I think that bad experience makes them go to cash, right? Which again, great. I'm all for entrepreneurship, right? But I think the hardest part is once you're commoditized at that point, right? The commodity you sell is one-to-one time with somebody who has a degree, right? But they don't have years of seeing thousands of patients, right? And bouncing it off. And I always thought the most valuable thing was when I was sick one day, or if I was on vacation and the older PT saw my patients, and then he'd be great to him. Oh yeah, Mrs. Smith, your knee looks great. I'm just gonna throw this exercise in and be fine, right? The moment I walk in on Monday, he's like, dude, you missed total terminal knee extension and she's 3 months out. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
Right?
for
You don't
sure.
get that when you go from drinking out of a fire hose in a mill to one-on-one cash pay. right? So that I can see why people think cash pay is the way, is because if you've had mill after mill after mill is the only option you've done,
Well,
of course you're going to think that. I would think that.
and here's one other thing that I want to just and I wanted to talk about what you were talking about before. The reality of what your post was about, and I think that people are losing, is that this is a business. Right? Businesses are just different types of businesses, right? It doesn't mean that it's a one size fits all model. And unfortunately, I think the PT mills are a bit, by the way, it's a good business model, right? It sucks to work in, but in theory, to see 40 patients, right, at a $75, $85, whatever reimbursement rate will work. I'm not suggesting it won't, right? So the reality is there a better way to do it? And that's what your post was, right? Hey, if we delegate to these other people, in theory, one of the other people that came with pitchforks were the PTA community, which, by the way, listen, it's not my fault that the PTA community, right, has 2 years of an associate's degree and then us having, these masters and doctorates in the further amount of school. And the reality is that that gap in education just means that salaries are different. That's just the reality of how that works. So therefore, the idea behind the business model here would be that if we as physical therapists do the evaluations and send them off to PTAs, essentially, what happens with PTAs is those PTAs would cost the business less, and therefore the reimbursement rate at the same amount would be better. Now, insurance companies have caught on to, hey, this is a place that we could actually cut. So they've actually reduced reimbursement rates on PTAs, all right, which I also think is bullshit too, because I think there are plenty of PTAs that I've worked with who had associate's degrees that had 20 years of experience. I'll tell you this. When I came out as a new grad in school, I was working with a PTA with 20 years experience. She was better than I was, no doubt about it. So this is not a
100%.
slant on PTAs. That's just the reality of the business model that's being proposed here, is the idea that, and again, if people want to comment on it and change it as PTAs, totally get that. That's where I think you're coming from, right? And it's like, how do we fix this model and how do we think about it? But it made total sense to me as to when you're like, yeah, this is a model that would work in business too. Now, real quick, before you jump in, to go back to the cash-based piece, because what I'm noticing is people 1 and 2 years out jumping to cash base, and I talked about this with somebody on LinkedIn as well, is as I said, the real reason that people are getting hired 1 and 2 years out in cash based practices is because those cash based practice owners are realizing how difficult it is to hire against higher quality physical therapists. By the way, they're also competing against me in practices, and have we seen that in some of the people we've coached, Owen? Totally, right? And some of that. So they need to resort to hiring new grads for the cash based practice, and I joke to go, doesn't that sound like a familiar hiring practice of PT mills? Irony. So my point being is, when it comes to this, I truly believe that's also what's happening in the cash-based world, is now we're getting more saturated. It's becoming more of a norm. There's become a market for it, right? We've had Paul Singh on here. We talked about you got to create a market. Well, cash-based PT created a market. But now what's happened is there are a lot of panic business owners out there in the cash-based world where a business model that will also work is just cash for physical therapy. However, the whole my your physical therapist is so much better in a cash-based world. Well, I mean, I literally have a person who's treating for me 40-minute sessions here. Is he all of a sudden better treating an hour in a cash-based practice? No, he's the same fucking therapist. So the reality is, don't tell me the cash-based practices are better, because what's happening is cash-based practices are just a different business model, and they're an easy one. They're an e much easier one to enter into, and hence that is why that works. So anyway, go ahead, Owen.
Well, yeah, and remember, your selling point is cash-based is concierge care, right? So you're gonna say one and one till the day you die, right? Like,
Totally.
I'm probably one of the only, because I literally own a cash-based physical therapy practice in Scottsdale, one on one, taking money. I spend all the time with you, and I'm like the one idiot who's not sitting there and saying one on one is like the only way to do it. Like, there are, but that's because I've spent 15 years building insurance-based businesses, right? So like these are the things that I think if you sat down with any rational physical therapist, they're going to say to you, look, what matters is the person intrinsically motivated to get better, right? Are they looking at ways of getting like looking for feedback and how to get better pattern recognition and all that, and then it really doesn't care. It doesn't matter how they make their money. Now, the thing, and I think it was Jerry Durham came on this and he told us, Home Depot is not a credit card based hardware store, right? Like how you take your money, it doesn't matter,
Yes.
right? But when you look at really what your argument is, mill versus one-to-one care, right? And the problem is that those are very extreme. Everyone's really somewhere in the middle, right? Like, mills are awful. We can all agree with that, right? But like, one-on-one care can also be like, I don't know, it's like seditious, right? Or where it's kind of almost manipulative. It's like, hey, you get to pay for a buddy, right? And that's what you're selling. And oh, by the way, because there are those out there, right? Now, there's also people like me that I'll go in and I'll say, you need three treatments and then a golf coach because your problem is not your hips. Your problem is you don't know how to swing a club, right? But again, that's intrinsic and you can't make blanket statements. So, as much as I love the internet, as much as I love social media to get hopefully some good discourse, and I will say I had some very good discourse with some very passionate PTs out there. So, I'm really happy with that. Unfortunately, this is why we haven't really jumped into the coaching space, both feet. We do programs and all this other stuff is because on a real level, you and I live this every day. We know we can't just make a blanket statement that says, like, if you're not doing the cash pay playbook, you are the worst of physical therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if you are not maximizing your ROI on KPIs and synergizing with the corporate blogosphere, then you are not. We know that there's somewhere in the middle. So that's why we try and keep it as real as we can, where it's like, look, there's like good and bad and nuance and all that fun stuff, which you kind of need a podcast
I
after
will
that.
totally, and I will say what got me really excited about the LinkedIn stuff that we've been posting recently. And again, I want to continue doing it. It gave me a lot of faith in how many really good quality physical therapists there are out there in this area that are really
Dude, they
passionate to go in and
care.
talk about that. And that's so great. It's
Bruh.
honestly, I would encourage anybody who's listening to this who's not doing that, like get on LinkedIn and like engage with a physical therapist because I think that will help a lot of people from burning out. I love
Oh.
the engagement. It was so good. And I've
Yeah.
noticed it on some of our other stuff. We'll add other podcasts around it because now it's also given us some great topics to talk about. But to your point, Owen, and to kind of like bring this home, I also think that what happens in the cash-based physical therapy, where I was talking about this with one of my other therapists today, I think the way that cash-based physical therapy kind of works is I also think it's rep it, there is a gigantic, I truly believe this. And for those listening who are in the strength conditioning world, not everybody, and for those of the massage therapists that I'm going to offend, whatever. The reality of this is there's a giant gap in a lot of places between physical therapy education and like trainers, personal trainers. And there's a lot of big gap between physical therapists and massage therapists. And so that delta has been cash-based physical therapy. Then listen, to Owen's point, evolution, we have insurance-based practices, we also have cash-based practices legitimately within our business. So like I also have a pretty unique experience of doing both, right? So I understand how it all works. My take on this in a lot of the ways that we talk about it is cash-based physical therapy practices that are successful and scalable generally either look a lot like some sort of massage hands-on practice, a la like an Aaron LaBauer, right? Who was a former massage therapist who then became, he's one of the main cash PT guys, great guy, and I think is a fantastic physical therapist. And you know, not that I know from watching him, but obviously, you know, was somebody that has been in that coaching space forever. I think what happens is like that PT brain and medical massage works really well in the cash-based practice world. I also think that from a fitness perspective, like the golf physical therapy specialist who works one-on-one with training, guess what? What you're doing is you're just replacing a bucket in people's wallets. So essentially what you've done is instead of being the insurance physical therapist, you've become the trainer that works really well for them in their niche, or the
A higher
massage
level, yeah.
therapist. Yeah, exactly. So in reality, there's also if I was a cash-based physical therapist primarily and only, what I would do is if a solopreneur or whatever, I would go to all the insurance PT mills and I would say, listen, I'm not trying to take your ACLs. I'm not trying to take those people. I am looking to, you know, look at other people that need maybe additional services, or maybe you're discharging after, blah, blah, blah. And you will get referrals that way. And I think that's the
30%.
reality. Yeah, all of our
30% of my
cash-based.
business last year was other PTs.
Total, dude, huge. And the reality of, and by the way, I think some of it is other PTs seeing that and are like, well, I want that money, right? And so what's happening is, yes, and yeah, I mean, like there's other ways to build referral sources and networking and marketing and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, to your point, I think that's really where cash PT's niche is in elevating those standards on, you know, massage therapy, you know, fitness stuff, et cetera. So it, ultimately, I look at that as a big piece of this. So yeah, man, I think that's a big part of it. Anything else we've missed that you want to cover in this
No, I just
episode?
want to plug our group. I mean, I think it's unique in what we do. Like, as I said, you are doing all the AI stuff. You're literally like seeing the pitfalls, everything like that. You're looking and saying, this is how I run my $2.5 million practice. And then I'm also coming in and saying, I'm going to people's homes. We're doing all this stuff. So I just want to plug it because, again, it's $100 for 4 Q&As a week, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not highway robbery, and hopefully
Per month,
we
by
can
the
help
way.
you.
It's
Huh?
eight per month. We changed
Oh
it
yeah,
up.
we upped it.
We upped it. You said four per week. That'd be a little tense. We
Oh,
do
I did.
eight per month now. So yeah, exactly.
This is why you're the sales guy and I'm the more like
No,
hello.
and that's why we have and also we didn't plug all the other parts of the programs you put together because the reality of we believe you should be able to do it on your own and learn how to do it. So yeah,
Yeah.
the school group is simple. So that link's somewhere in these
Yeah, we'll put it in
comments
the
and
show notes.
bios. Sounds good. Cool. All right, man. See ya.
All right, bud. See you.